manifested by the star to the sages from afar. Branch of royal David's stem, in thy birth at Bethlehem, anthems be to thee addressed, God and man made manifest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. With these words, Christopher Wordsworth captured the essence of the advent of Christ and all our faith, God in man made manifest. Yes, the purpose of the advent was to manifest God, but there is something else implied in these words. God was there within man all along. The business of our faith, of each one who claims to follow the Master, is to participate really and truly in this revelation. For if we do not see the God within, striving to become the divine image, which is the pattern of our creation, which is the nucleus, the center, the essence of our own selves, then we have no hope of salvation. Today, the Feast of the Epiphany, which derives from a Greek word which means coming to light, manifested by the star, but also coming to light in the sense of discovery, of revelation. The other great manifestation celebrated on this day is at the Lord's baptism called the Theophany, deriving from another Greek word meaning the light of God, or God in light, that is, God made manifest. Today's feast, Theophany and Epiphany, together constitute Orthodoxy's second greatest feast after Pascha. Manifested by the star, the changeless course of the heavens stopped, so stars might reverence their maker and master. Too much for human reason to bear. Do I say that God is not subject to man's laws of physics? It is a fact that the preeminent journal Nature balked at the Big Bang theory because it seemed to propose religion, not science. Its editors rightly understood that the theory posited the laws of physics to be temporary and provisional, that they did not apply, in that sense, did not exist before the Big Bang occurred, nor would they exist after the universe had contracted back into nothingness. The symmetries of man, you see, are framed by God. The laws of physics are the instruments of His will, and given and taken at His pleasure. God made manifest through changes in the starry heavens. Is this too remote to command our awe? Is it too subtle for earthbound creatures staring downward, not upward? After all, only three Zoroastrian scientists detected this. Only three knelt down before the God infant, great manifestation of God. Nonetheless, an angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And the shepherds approached the manger where the child was, as the angels had directed. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. But Mary pondered. What could all these things mean? Christ the Lord? What or who is that? 40 days later, they presented the child at the temple, encountering the prophet Simon. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to enlighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. But the gospel goes on to record that Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. They marveled. They wondered. Mary pondered. To use a word from the first English translation of the Bible, they were astonied. Their minds were overwhelmed, powerless, turned to stone. It was too much for their minds to reach. 12 years later, when Mary and Joseph find the missing Jesus in the temple debating the doctors, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when Mary and Joseph saw him, they were amazed. Which is to say, their mind was set to become a maze. Reason could not find its way. And he said to his mother and guardian, did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And they did not understand the saying which he spoke to them. Luke 2:49-50. Nonetheless, Jesus obeyed his mother and guardian, and they departed for Nazareth, and his mother kept all these things in her heart. Even the most holy Theotokos, having been granted the company and conversation of angels, wondered what all these things and strange words might mean. Manifest at Jordan Stream, prophet, priest, and king supreme, and at Cana wedding guest, in thy Godhead manifest. Manifest in power divine, changing water into wine. Anthems be to thee addressed, God and man made manifest. We read from the gospel, he went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened. Notice it does not say he saw the heavens opened. No, it says, behold, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. It does not say, he heard, this is my beloved Son. It says, lo, a voice from heaven saying, eternally, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. He rose from the water and the heavens opened. Unquote. This word opened, the Greek word is anoigo, appears rarely in the Synoptic Gospels, and when it does, it is normally linked to divine revelation. It occurs when Jesus opens the ears of a deaf man, a metaphor for a man standing for God but unable to hear him. And looking up to heaven, Jesus sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. It occurs in proclaiming the good news of God's invitation to all humankind. Knock, and it will be opened to you. It occurs to express the disciples' yearning for God. They said to him, Lord, let our eyes be opened. And it occurs on the road to Emmaus. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he opened to us the scriptures? But the greatest opening or manifestation occurs at Jordan Stream, where the heavens were opened to reveal the Holy Trinity. The Fathers, Origen, Irenaeus, Athanasius, to name three, understood the blinding light of this manifestation in terms of human darkness. Here is the problem. Humankind was so lost in its failure to understand itself that the already bleak picture could only become darker unto absolute black if left to itself. You see, we no longer knew who we were, why we were born, what might be the meaning of our lives. Like the emperor's disfigured likeness on an old coin, the silver had worn down to a dull, indecipherable slug, said Irenaeus. Like a defaced portrait whose subject could no longer be discerned, the figure on canvas had grown dim, even grotesque. But who might remint the coin? How could copies of the portrait be made when the original is lost? We were made in the image of God, but had lost our royal lineaments, looking more like lower beasts than noble women and men. But God was no longer with us, as he was in Eden, to sit for the original portrait. The great emperor was no longer present to restrike the coins with his image. We are lost. It is a crisis of identity so deep that we entered a forgetfulness of who or what we are, which is the essential condition of hell. All heavenly part erased, nothing but brutish beast remaining. As the Fathers plainly saw, there was but one solution: for God to be with us, Emmanuel, that we might remember what we were supposed to look like, him, who we are, the Son of God's adopted brothers and sisters, and what life means, to claim our royal identity, to conduct ourselves on God's own, as God's own, and to enter an everlasting kingdom with him. After all, he is life, and all else, therefore, is eternal death, his adversary and opposite. Manifest and making whole, palsied limbs and fainting soul. Manifest in valiant fight, quelling all the devil's might. Manifest in gracious will, ever bringing good from ill. Anthems be to thee addressed, God and man made manifest. To be near to him is life. Should even the shadow of his disciple fall upon an incurably ill man, that man would be healed, Acts 5:15. God's Son did not come to institute healing ministries, soup kitchens, or parish thrift shops. God's intention is to awaken us to ourselves. If the choice be to sell costly spikenard in order to feed the poor, or rather to worship God, then the answer is plain to women and men who understand the meaning of life. You will always have the poor with you. but you will not always have me. The opportunity for relationship with God, father and child relationship, is as fleeting as life itself. For once, life has ended. The opportunity is lost forever. We will have entered a new situation where our will no longer enjoys freedom. The opportunity to love God, so fleeting, so precious, will have been lost forever. In recent months, we have meditated on that chilling proverb of the early Western Church, Time Jesum Traesuntum et non reverentum. Dread the passage of Jesus. Dread the passage of Jesus, for he does not return, not as our teacher and friend, but rather as our unerring judge. Consider then two sayings of the Orthodox saint Elder Paisos the Athenite. Do not trust the mindset of secular people. And decide what you want most, the sympathy of the world or a return near to God. May I add, you cannot have both. You cannot have the approval of the world. You cannot have the concurrence of your worldly neighbors and return to nearness with God. At the end of our lives, all the laws of physics or of biology or of the world itself will pass away. Sun and moon shall darkened be. Stars shall fall, the heavens shall flee. Christ will then like lightning shine. All will see his glorious sign. We will then the trumpet hear. All will see the judge appear. Thou by all wilt be confessed. God and man made manifest. If we have rejected God, the greatest crime by far before the bar of royal justice, then in the end, depend upon it, his will cannot be eluded. His laws will not be bent. There will be no special cases. He who turned the stars at his son's birth and darkened the sun at his son's death numbers the hairs on our head and attends to our every word and action. He is our Father in heaven. And he will not abandon us to our darkness, but rather will implore us to honor our own celestial image, which is his. Grant us grace to see thee, Lord, mirrored in thy holy word. May we imitate thee now, to be pure as pure art thou. That we, like to thee, may be at thy great theophany, and may praise thee ever blessed, God and man made manifest. The road ahead for each of us is none other than becoming God, made in his likeness, showered with his loving attention all our lives. We are called to ignore the mindset of secular people, called to return to him, called to claim our birthright. Claim it, and the change in your life will astonish. It will astony. A new and pure light shining from your face. And year by year, a saint of light will have taken your once darkened place. For us, the heavens have been opened. God in man and in woman made manifest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.